Hey! The salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh man, I'm riding dry today. I gotta tell you something. I'm grabbing something here. We're down here in Panama City, Florida, and Jim just said, "Coach, you gotta close the garage door." So I gotta do that right now. Hang on, which one did I hit? I think I hit that one. I hope that closed it, Jim. Somebody talk a minute. I got to run and make sure the garage door closed. Vinny, somebody talk a minute. I'll be right back.
Yep. So we got it. So, yeah, we got it, Coach. So we're all wondering why Fox, the Fox channel, has decided not to run the ad that Trump had put out. I didn't believe his assistant, media manager, Brad Parscale, put the commercial up, and they decided not to run it, and they said it was racist. But that doesn't make any sense, because the commercial is absolutely true. I believe the fellow's name is Lewis, and he opines that, "Oh, I wish I could have killed more officers. I only killed two officers." Now, what's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Vinny. I've yep. seen that commercial on Fox over and over and over again.
Yes, but they've just stopped playing it. Just time for election day.
Honestly, they're doing that so that everybody will look it up on the internet and watch it.
Okay.
It's a guerrilla marketing technique.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I agree.
That's
I'm sure they're getting a lot more hits from people going to YouTube and watching it.
It worked on me.
same here.
All right, you know, of course, yeah, certain things are done without telling us to get us to do things.
You know, I think the real question is, why do the Democrats react that way? Because the first thing anybody that I know does when they say you shouldn't be watching something is we go watch it. Or you shouldn't know something, or you shouldn't read somebody. We go do that.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm back, boys.
Hey,
crazy here this morning. Sorry to do that. I have the only car garage door. They left. The crew just left to go, and I have the only garage door open. I had to go close it. So, praise the Lord. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Lowell. I heard you talking there. Vinny, didn't mean to interrupt you guys. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No worries. We're finished, guy.
We were just talking about the commercial.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool. Well, listen, we are in I'm not actually in Panama City. I'm in a little suburb. It's about 35 miles from Panama City. As always, I say it every morning. I got a lot going through my heart today. There's eight of us here. And I'm telling you guys, we're on to something. I'm talking about all of us. We're on to something. Don, who showed up here this morning from, lives in New Jersey, has his own business. He just decided he was going to, we met him Saturday when we were in Pennsylvania, and he does this kind of stuff. He owns his own business, and he told his wife, I want to go. Went and said he had to do some paperwork, turned the business over to everybody else, and jumped in his truck and drove all the way down here with a great big front end loader, and it's like having gold down here. But then to sit around and talk to him and hear his heart, to you know, golly, he's looking for somebody to partner with and do something. They're out there, but I'm telling you, fellas, the fields are white. Now, hear me. This is where I am. I've told people this for a long time, and it only as I advance more and more is it beginning to make sense to me. I don't know, does that light bother you guys? I could maybe turn a little bit if it does.
Coach.
Okay, I've been saying this to people for a while, and they didn't get it. I said, listen, I'm after the found. I'm not after the lost. Guys, does that make sense? Are there enough people looking for trying to get people saved and get people found? I said, I want the guys already on the team. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm more encouraged and more motivated, more inspired every day, especially when I come and do something like this. We don't have any idea how many guys there are out there who are already, dare I say it, red-pilled, who already understand the times in which we live and understand what it is that Israel's supposed to do. Maybe they don't know exactly what to do. Maybe they don't know where to plug in. Bobby Lee sent me the greatest little email yesterday. I can't hardly see. My computer's not up. I'm working just strictly off my phone. And so, Bobby, I'm not trying to embarrass you if you're in here today, because Bobby came to the event on Saturday. And Bobby sent me an email yesterday. It says basically this. I was tickled pink with 25 people. And for the most part, it was 25 people that we picked up through the show or connections of the show. That's how most people ended up there through the hangout here, through the huddle. And Bobby emailed me and he said, Coach, 25, are you kidding me? He said, there ought to be 2,500. These people are everywhere. And he said, maybe we're not doing a good enough job of promoting it. Maybe we need to buy advertising. Maybe we need to expand what it is we're trying to do. And I say, amen, Bobby. I say, amen. So I'm open to suggestions out there to anybody that knows how to do it, what to do. Because I'm Steve Deck. I'm thinking about Steve Deck. I'm thinking about the activist grandma who I ran in. They're everywhere, fellas. And remember, I've been saying for a long time, build a downline. They're out there, folks. The fields are white. So that's where my heart is as we begin here this morning. And I got a couple videos and stuff I want to show you. But other than that, I don't have anything profound to talk about today other than this is a monumental day in America. And the first thing I did this morning when I popped up, just, you know, we all do it. I popped up off the couch and looked at my cell phone right away. And they're starting about talking about the election and 60 seats and 50 seats. And I just shut it all off. I just shut it all off because it's all just propaganda and lies. And, you know, no matter what happens, we're going to have to wake up tomorrow and there's going to be the world will not have changed when we wake up tomorrow. Okay. If it's a red wave or if it's a blue wave, there ain't nothing that's changed for any of us. Nothing. In fact, there's a part of me that would say, I don't really mean this, but there's a part of me that would say, I hope it's a blue wave. I hope it's a blue wave because maybe we'll stand up and fight. Because if it's a red wave, are we going to go back to sleep thinking, everything's okay, Trump's in control, we won, trust the government again? And I warned people way back a long time ago, when George W. Bush was getting into office, when he came around, had the Patriot Act and all that stuff. I said, listen, you daggone Republicans, you better wake up and understand this. That Patriot Act looks good now. It looks good to you now because George Bush is in office and you trust George Bush. You wait 20 years down the road and see if that Patriot Act's a good thing. Whoever thought that we'd get a Muslim freak as president of the United States to come on and about sell this nation out. So we have got to be very, very careful that we're putting all of our eggs in the political basket. Amen. I'm sure I can't see the chat. Somebody thumbs up.
Amen. Like, let's talk about utopia. Utopia is only as good as the administration goes. When the next administration comes in, they can destroy it.
That's
Coach, my wife and I were talking about this, and I told her, I said, babe, I said, did our lives personally change, whether it was Bush, Trump, Obama administration? I said, no, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
That's right.
This doesn't affect us. You know, it affects the nation. I get that. But personally, my life doesn't change. My life doesn't change because of a political wave.
But that's right, Dale. But remember what I continue to say, that scriptures teach us that a wise man, that'd be me. I guess actually the scripture says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So I get up every day. It ain't about me. I'm going to be 66 years old here in about 19 days. 66.
The name.
And I look at those little grandbabies that I have and then the two little grandbabies that are coming. I think, Lord, that's what your life's about. It's not about Trump and it's not about less taxation and less regulation. And it's not about, although all that stuff's good, that's not what it's about.
$20 billion in sorrow.
What's that, sir?
Hey, amen, coach. That's what I'm saying. We don't change, brother. We are going to have our – I listen to my children talk. Man, they're solid in their faith. They're solid in their conversations. They're solid in their ideologies. And that's – you're right. That's the investment of the future right there.
That's it, brother. And Dale, he's breaking up. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. You trying to say something, Serge? I don't know. I thought I heard something. So, Dale, I was thinking about you. Your young son, David, just graduated from high school. Strong, handsome, strapping. Wow, what a physical specimen David is. And he got married. He got married at 18 years old. He didn't go to college and screw everything he could get his hands on for 4 years and try out sex and see if that thing's going to work. At 18 years old, he decided, you know what? I like this girl. I'm going to marry her, and we're going to start a family. JR, about time we came back to that kind of stuff in America again, isn't it? That's the only thing that's going to make America great again. Not Donald Trump and his tax cuts, right? Not the Supreme Court and who's sitting on the Supreme Court. Do we once again teach people how to be Christians, how to live as Christians, and our obligation as Christian men about what we're supposed to do? And I remember, Dale, when I found out that your son was getting married at 18 years old, right out of high school, my jaw dropped. And I looked at my wife and I said, that's the way it used to be. That's the way it used to be. Now we got to send them off to institutions of lower living and let them live like whores and dogs for four years. And the churches are encouraging it, right? Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, and I had this conversation with my wife. You know, he was 19. He's 19, but
oh, he's really old, you know, then. I'm sorry, really old.
Yeah, I know, man. That's a tipping point. No, do you understand? He was getting letters. He even got letters from Alabama for football. David was going to move away from home and go play college football, and I was not happy about that. And I said, David, I don't know about that. And brother, he falls in love. And he turns that thing away. That tells me right there. I looked at my wife 2 days ago. I said, it's the best thing that's happened to him in his life. Best decision he's ever made, getting married.
It's a grace of God upon his life, isn't it, Dale? It's that hedge of protection that we talk about, right? That hedge of protection that for whatever happened, whatever you guys impressed upon him and put in his heart at 19 years old, he said, no, I'm going to stay under this covering of the Lord. I'm going to stay under this covering that I was raised in. Yeah, Alabama looks good. Yeah, LSU looks good. Yeah, there's a lot of women out there to screw. Yep. That wasn't what he wanted, was it? And see, that's a product of upbringing. Dale, help me, Dale. He didn't go to government schools, did he, Dale? He didn't go to government schools.
Absolutely not.
No, you kept him under your wing, and he learned faith. I know this. I'm singing JR's song probably here, the family, the importance of the family. But see, most Christians, we don't even think that way. We don't even think generationally. Don who came with us today, Craig, who came all the way from Iowa with his skid steer, he brings this 18-year-old nephew of his with him. He told me, he says, you know, this will be really, really good for him. And I'm thinking, no kidding, this would be really, really good. It'd be really, really good for some men out there to bring their sons to come and help us to see what men do, how men serve, how men behave, how men cut down trees, and how men help repair houses without cussing and drinking and smoking dope. And then young men need to see how men live. And that's why Chad Dillon.
That's it, Coach.
Let me jump.
Come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's me, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, college is the worst thing that can happen to most people. We will never know the statistics and the number of people whose lives have been destroyed because of college, either in the first couple of years or thereafter. Most people don't make it past the first year or two anyway. But when you invest all of this time into living like hell and end up with massive debt and end up with crap degrees for jobs that don't exist, It's a useless endeavor.
Hey, Bobby, stay right there a second, because at the end of the program on Saturday, you, man, something started to bubble up out of you, and you started talking about we don't need no more psych degrees. Can we go into that, Bobby, and expand into that a little bit? Because it goes right down the same line.
Yeah, within the last 30 years, we've produced an army of human service degrees. These colleges exploded. First of all, college is a money making industry, as in a lot of other things that I talk about. All of these, the glamours and the massive athletic programs, that's just candy to get you in there, and in the social cesspit arenas. Now, so what they've done is they've created human service control freaks to put out in the field, be it teachers or children and youth workers or the psych industries. And the big picture is they actually needed this because they destroyed the family. They removed the father from the home, as we already know. And then you had kids that are destroyed, living like hell, beating up mommy and school teachers anywhere in America. Now, to take it even further, you need the human service people now because of massive autism. Old numbers is 1 in 57. By 2025, it's going to be 1 in 2. So you actually need the Army, but it's been engineered.
Yeah.
I'm always against the psych engine because I've lived it for so long. And I want to see the family put back together and the father back in the home to do away with this.
Well,
coming into your home and raising these kids and that should never have been.
I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Does anybody hear a phone ringing besides me? I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, as Bobby Lee's talking.
What phone? What phone?
Stop that. So listen. So what Bobby is saying, see, the colleges have created their own customers. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. Listen, what I'm saying, the psych industry has created their own customers. See, I mean, it's the humanism, right? We need more psych workers because people are more nuts, right?
Coach, I got kicked off because of a phone call. I don't know what you heard and what you didn't hear.
Okay. go ahead.
In the past 30 years, they've created an army of people to come in and raise your kids and to manage these kids nationwide that are so out of control because of the destruction of the family. Now, across the next 10 years, they're expecting about 50% of the colleges to close. Within the last couple of years, there have been 12 colleges in Pennsylvania on the chopping block.
Good.
Yeah, good. We need this to happen because I think the bubble in the human service industry is going to collapse because people are going to wake up and realize what useless degrees they really have. Amen. There's no money to be made out there in the psych industry unless you have at least a master's degree or above and you're doing something. And I can't think of anything more horrific than to sit there all day long than to bless kids and families in and out with psych diagnosis. And I've sat at the table for years. I know the PhDs that do it, and they believe it. They have to. They've spent their life studying these rotating diagnoses, and that's what they do all day long is bless people.
So Bobby, when a kid comes into school and he's out of control, do they call the pastor to try to straighten him out, or do they call some social worker to straighten him out?
Social workers, and psych services, and referral to agencies to come into your home by people that's fresh out of college that just suck, or children and youth workers that suck even more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the biggest lack in the working community is in the mechanics, right? In the construction, because everybody feels they got to go to college and they don't teach you how to build houses, how to cut down trees, or do any of that stuff.
Let me tell you something. I just left the mental health industry a handful of months ago. I spent the past year studying an electromechanical program, and now I'm working as an electromechanical tech. And right now, I'm going to two nights a week to a welding program to learn real skills to go make real money.
Wow.
Because I was part of the army that were shoved that's been shoved out there within the last 25 years that never should have been. We have crap degrees. I got two crap degrees.
Let me throw something else out.
Let
me throw something else out real quick from a different perspective. In 2014-15, China was producing 60% engineering-related degrees. That's hackers, double E's, programmers, mechanical, civil engineering, 60%. Do you know how many the U.S. colleges produce? Of all graduates, how many are in all engineering fields?
I'm afraid to ask.
15%.
Mm.
So they are definitely doing what Bobby's saying. They're pushing kids, the ones that are saying, I don't know what I want to be. And they go through 2 years of school. What do you want to be? I don't know what I want to be. That's what they funnel them into. And all it takes is poor leadership in the home, not teaching your kids about life so they can pick something. And you assessing your children to know if you should send them to college or you should tell them to go to a skilled trade. Amen. So many parents are worried about other parents that they won't send their kids to a skilled trade because they're being judged by their neighbors.
Mm.
You know, Craig, and I see it every day. See it every day.
Craig from Iowa. Are you listening, Craig from Iowa? I don't know if Craig's – I don't know if he's – are you there, Craig? Can you jump in here a little bit? Because here's what Mark's talking about. I told these guys jokingly, although it's not a joke, Mark. I have these eight guys here, and we're going out there today, and we're going to cut up trees and do whatever. I said, listen, I talk for a living. Okay, I don't do chainsaws, I don't do skid steers, I don't do tractors. I talk for a living. Okay, so listen, I'm going to be out here, and I'm going to do the best I can. I can't talk a tree off of that roof. I'd like to, but I can't. So you're going to have to show me how to be able to do this. And you know what I find out? It's amazing. I look at Mark Trump. Mark Trump's got about 17 different skills, but no college degree. He can do more things. He can do Jim Kraft. Jim Kraft has a college degree. He was an administrator in high school. He was a principal. He's an educated man. He can drywall, he can build, he can raise animals, he can fix cars, he can do so many things. Don, who comes down here, I find out Don has his own business, garage door business, has had it forever, but he can do all these other things. He has all these skills. Craig fixes. I wish Craig could get in here to tell. He's sitting in my car and we're driving down the road. And he said, oh yeah, I used to do this for 5 years and I did this for 5 years. And now I'm doing this and then I'm going to do this. And every time he's doing, he's changing his careers, making money and living. And I'm thinking, here, what can I do other than talk? I've missed it somewhere here.
Coach, there's tons of us out there that do stuff like this. I used to run a hospital, right? I ran a hospital and ran a generator. Man. What it is real world experience. You can't get that in college. You cannot get that in college. You only get that by working.
Vince, they tell you don't even need it. They tell you can hire somebody to run the chainsaw. You can hire somebody with a friend.
Right. They don't value those skills. Those are real skills.
That's our fault, though, right?
Right. Not adding a calculator. So, anyone can do that.
One of the things I've been doing, Coach, to talk to people in the church is I say, can you list all of the doctors and nurses by name, first and last name in your church? Can you list all the security people, policemen, firemen? Can you list their names?
Just in your church.
Just in your church. Can you list them? And most people, when they go to church, they're amongst strangers and they don't know them. Hmm. That's what matters, is us to learn each other's gifts, talents, skills. That is what I'm picking up here. And I've got, you know, Gary Donahoe's skills up there in Pennsylvania. We've met Don now. Tanya had a great meeting, and unfortunately she couldn't join, but she had this great, great huddle up there in Pennsylvania. Bobby, you know, all of us got to talk and understand more about each other.
Even that anal Gary Pierce behind the scenes doing stuff that he's trained to do that I don't do. I don't think it's important. He's doing it. One body, many members. We still don't have this thing figured out, right? So here I am. I like to brag to people. I got a PhD. I got a master's degree. Oh, well, good. Good. What good's that to you when a hurricane hits your house? Well, I can get on the phone and maybe call somebody who can come and help. And so the church, we have no idea amongst us, right amount. Steve Deck. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, Steve. Steve's a construction
engineer, construction engineer. Do you have any idea the skill set that that guy has? Any idea?
A lot.
And they nobody putting him in game in regards to his spiritual life. And he says, I got all these skills. I got all these. I don't have any place to plug in. To me, that's what the huddle's all about. See, being able to exercise our gifts right where we are, bring others along, build a team, build a network right where you live to make it without college degrees. Not that college degrees are bad, but to learn how to live life. We need to learn how to live life again.
Hey, coach.
We need each other, too.
We do.
No college degree here. Matter of fact, never went to college. You know, ran hotels, ran restaurants, run construction companies. But the one thing that I did go to college for that I had to walk away from was three different Bible colleges, because each one of them tried to box me into the pulpit that this is what I need to be as a pastor. Brother, I walked away from you connecting the dots. They do the same thing. We want to box you in. You become a useless vessel when you get into the same thing in these Bible colleges. And that's what they tried to do to me as a pastor. So I left three different Bible colleges because of that.
So Dale, that's why I encourage people when they say, coach, I just want to serve the Lord. I say, you do? Yeah. I know a guy right now. I know a guy, and that sounds stupid. Of course I know a lot of guys, but I know a guy who right now is working on his piled higher and deeper Doctor of Divinity. And I said, well, why do you want a Doctor of Divinity? Just go start a church. Just go serve the Lord. He said, no. He says, coach, some of the places that I want to work, you need that MDiv. You got to have that Masters of Divinity in order to get hired. And I said, oh, really? I ain't working there, man. I ain't working there. While you're in college and you're studying that, getting your MDiv, I'm putting guys out on the playing field. Johnny Appleseed, we're planting Don here and Gary there and Craig there and Jim there. We're planting these guys all around the place. And they don't have churches, but they're ministering. And it's Dale, you're exactly right. They want to plug you into that same old educational control box that they were in.
Yep, I preach it all the time, coach. I say I don't have any PhDs behind my name. I had a lot of LSD, I said, but then I made JC, and now I just get out there and do it.
That's right, man. Well, it's the same in life, really. It's the same in life, man. Dave, so yeah, Roger.
I think it's time for a defense of college. Do you have for me to say something?
Sure.
It's time for a defense of a college education.
Roger, we even let fools speak here. Go ahead.
I'm done. I just gave you the defense for college.
Gotcha. That's it, man. That's right.
You go, Roger.
Somebody gets rich, but it ain't the guy going to college. I can tell you that, right? That isn't who did it.
You know, college was a big business when pay raises were 9% and 10% for the last 10 years within the system.
Yeah.
And the normal public, and the person out working, was getting 1% or 2%. Interest rates were at 2%, and the college degrees, the college professors were all getting 9%, 10%, 11% increases. That's a business.
And tenure, right?
Can't
be fired. Yeah. So I don't know how we got on this, but it's a good thing to be on.
I go, you know, with what Roger said, my other son, my oldest son now, Jonathan, you know, he did go to college, but he lived at home. So, brother, we were able to spiritually talk him through some of the stuff, especially in the early days of his college education. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a useless degree. He is a powered electrical engineer. He's got a bachelor's in it. He still lives at home. He's debt-free. He owes no school, no nothing. And he's in the process now of saving his money. He's buying a house in January, February. But, brother, he lived underneath that covenant of perfection the family right here.
So, folks, I don't know if you know this. Let me let this cat out of the bag here a minute. Jared, go to my Facebook page. I want to show a couple videos here that I took yesterday. I don't know if you guys know this or not. You go back and you Google it. But the Obama administration, right after President Obama came into office. Are you ready for this? He federalized all college loans. Federalized it. It's almost impossible to find. Remember, you used to get student loans when I was in college. You went to student loans, you went to your local bank, and you got a student loan, and my parents co-signed with me. Those things are almost non-existent anymore. When you go to college, when your child goes to college and they talk about financial aid, and they give you the financial aid papers, and you fill out the financial aid papers, you do know, don't you, that the loan comes from the federal government.
Hey, Coach.
And that that President Obama, God love him, that Muslim freak, President Obama took that money to fund Obamacare. Did you guys know that? Did you know that? Took all that interest money coming off of college debt to use it to try to fund Obamacare. And the kids are graduating from college today with college loans, more than the mortgage on a home. But don't miss this. It's the government they owe the money to. Now, you tell me that's not wicked. You tell me the whole college loan thing isn't wicked, but when the government gets involved in putting you and your children into slavery, and you go to the university, and the university says, oh, you want to come to college here? Oh, you need to borrow $20,000? Oh, we're here. Sign these papers, and it'll be a loan. And it's the federal government that's getting the interest off of that money, which, by the way, was just printed out of thin air. There's nothing. Whew! Boy, if my eyes are
dead. And we become the slave to the indebtor.
We have done.
Yep.
And guess what loans survive bankruptcy? College loans.
No, you cannot bankrupt your way out of a college loan. Do folks know that? Huh? You can't. You cannot bankrupt. Roger, are you there, Roger? Can you bankrupt out of a college loan, Roger?
What's that?
Can you bankrupt a college loan?
Very difficult.
Yeah. You can stiff your local bank, or you can stiff this credit card company, or you can stiff somebody else you love, but you can't stiff the federal government.
I'd go back to what Dale said a few minutes ago. The trades, large vehicle driving at the construction, the trades are in deep trouble because just the young people all want to be sociologists or psychologists. Mm-hmm. And the guy that drives a truck making 28 bucks an hour, which is good money, nobody wants to do that.
Well, even worse than that, Roger, he goes home and he has a hobby that is a good enough skill that he can make a living off of it, but he doesn't realize it. He doesn't realize
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
He says, I drive a truck. So you drive a truck. Yeah, but I woodwork on the side. I do this great wood. Are you kidding me? Well, why are you driving a truck? Well, that's how I make a living.
So you got colleges funneling people into degrees that aren't required, and then you have this need for technical capability. So what's the solution? Artificial intelligence is replacing the workers that the colleges aren't training.
Where do these
people go once they're replaced by automation? It's already happened in the nuclear and a lot of the other industries.
They go to their parents' basement, live there, and become Antifa.
How about this? Saturday when we were in Bethlehem, PA, Allentown, wherever I was there, somebody in the meeting, I don't know if it was Mark Trump or somebody, said, hey, do our young kids know who Rand McNally is? Say, what? Rand McNally. Yeah. Roadmaps.
That was me.
That was Mark. Yeah. Remember those books you used to get? All 50 states, roadmaps? Not now. You got it on your phone. They don't even know how to read roadmaps, right? So these skills, these life skills that we poo-poo and laugh at because of technology, Mark Trump just opened my eyes again with a mic drop. My Lord, I'm going to need this artificial intelligence because I don't know how to do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The reason us truck drivers that have hobbies drive a truck is it's health insurance and pension.
Yeah, there's some truth to that too, right? It all goes back to the same thing, right? The American dollar, the American dollar we had in 1950, I think I just saw this the other day, is now worth 3 cents. The dollar in 1950, that dollar in 1950 is now worth 3 cents. Not the paper dollar, the value of the dollar. They call it inflation. That's how they rob us. Man, I don't know how I got on this. Jared, let's go to my Facebook page real quickly here. I want to show you. We were, those of you who know Jim, again, I want to say God bless Jim Kraft, the time and effort and energy that he's given to wow.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, he hadn't asked for anything.
Doesn't even want a pat on the back. Feels guilty if you get a pat on the back. But come here, we're staying at his sister's house. Food's the shelf is stocked, food, coffee, everything you could ever want. And yesterday, when we got into town, I have to drive to Panama City. It's about it's supposed to be about 40 miles, and the traffic is it's horrendous. Here's what happens. Jim explained this to me yesterday. Right now, this morning, everybody who lives in Panama City, they've been staying someplace else. And they get up in the morning and they drive into town and they try to do whatever they can on their property, work around it, do whatever. And then about 4 o'clock, they all drive home. It took us, I can't tell you how long it took us to go 30 miles last night, 2 hours, bumper to bumper all the way out. So those guys left early to go get in there. But Jim took us to a church. And, you know, as much as I church bash it, this church is called the St. Andrew's Baptist Church. We'll show you a video on it here. And I walked into St. Andrew's Baptist Church, and it's inside this beautiful new sanctuary now that's been totally stripped. Everything's gone. The flooring's up. The pews are out. It got the roof blew off. Everything in there is destroyed. And so they were working hard to try to get their church back up and running. But at the same time, their parking lot's full of relief efforts. It's amazing. And you walk into that church, and there's little stickers up on the wall of, here's jobs that need to be done, and here's jobs that have been completed, and people come there in the morning and see where they can go and help and do. So
hey, Coach.
Jim took us there last night, and we've got some jobs. They're heading there to do them now. Yeah, Mark.
Does Jared got those pictures? Did you ever show those that I sent in from last? That there's the pictures of the post-it notes, the church, stuff like that. I don't know if y'all...
I'm going to show a video of that, Mark. I just did a video of that, so I'm going to show people that.
Gotcha.
Right here.
I want to ask a question. Is there a military base there in that town?
There has to be one close. Well, all along here, I think there are, because when Gary and I got off the plane in Destin, Florida, which is that was about 40 miles. There's definitely an Air Force base.
Andrews there. Air Force Base. Yeah. There's an Air Force base.
That's it. Okay.
Yes, they're missing. That's it. They're missing 10. F-22 Raptors from that Air Force base right there. 10 of them missing.
Got blown away or whatever?
They're missing. They're missing in action.
We know what the heck that could be.
Okay, I just want to interrupt here again. Also, a second. To make sure that for the event this weekend, if you're coming down to Texas for the event this weekend, make sure you got a red shirt. Thank you.
Chad, I was supposed to. I'm out of hats. I'm out of hats. I got them on order. I'm out of hats, and I didn't bring any shirts with me. Even though you asked me to, I didn't do it. Now maybe I can get my wife to mail some. I don't know how many I would need. You know, I don't know how many I need to get down there. We'll make do with whatever we have to do. That's a whole nother. I get too many balls in the air. I'm not making an excuse. Just it is what it is. So listen, let's go to. Jared, let's go to my Facebook page. Now, I can't see it. I did three or four real quick. I don't want this to come across wrong. Go ahead. Okay. I don't want this to come across wrong, but it was a profound moment. We were driving around these devastated neighborhoods last night. I just tell you, you can't believe it. You just can't believe it. These trees have been snapped off. Huge trees. You can't believe it. Still, I mean, it's a month out, right? It's been a month. And we were driving down the road looking at all that stuff, and all of a sudden I noticed these two young ladies, one older, one young, walking on the sidewalk, and I pulled over. And I got it on video, and I had the Facebook Live running, and I called this lady over and said, you know, what was it like? And all we were here the whole time, she said. What did it sound like? Sound like freight trains and on and on and on. You know how you look in people's eyes and there's nothing there? I mean, and they're back home. They're still home. Ain't nothing there. And so I was prompted by the Lord. I reached into my wallet and I pulled out some money. And I said, sweetheart, I said, I'd like to give you this. And she says, oh, no. We don't, thank you, we don't need it. I said, no, you go buy yourself, you and your daughter, you go buy yourself a meal. And she said, okay, thank you. And then they walked away, and as I'm pulling back on the traffic, pulling back in the line, Mark would attest to this. No, Mark wasn't here yet. He wouldn't.
So I pull back over, I look over there, and she's walking down the street, sobbing. Amazing. It's amazing what's going on in the lives of people. It's amazing. She said, no, I don't need it. I knew she did. I should have given her 1,000.
Jim met a guy who was kind of standing and not really just taking it all in. And he talked to him and he said, I've lived a whole life and I've got everything on in the trunk of my car.
That's it, folks. A month out. It's a month out. Right? It's been a month. Jared, I can't see my... Go to my Facebook page here, Jared, and play...
I try to explain to people about these hurricanes, natural disasters, what floods or whatever, about we love our stuff. Why are we working all the hours we're working for our stuff? And then when a disaster comes, it wipes it out. It's such a burden, our stuff.
Our stuff is a burden, man.
And then we go and get more stuff. You know, it just boggles my mind.
Amen, Chad.
I remember Dale Socha taught me that when we were down in Louisiana. Dale said all that stuff that they had, all of it they had, when that storm hit, it became a burden to them. Because now they had to get out of their house, out onto the street for somebody to haul away. And then, as Chad said, they just can't wait to go get a bunch more stuff and reinvest their lives in this new stuff that they got. Oh, my goodness. Jared, I'm trying to find you up on here to see.
Hey, there's stuff all in the Bible, Coach.
There is stuff everywhere in that Bible.
Stuff. Oh,
my goodness. Stuff. It's all just stuff.
Well, Coach, that was my platform of ministry down in Beaumont. And I would tell people, I said, a week before the storm hit or even days before, if I came to your house and said, hey, I'm here to take all your stuff, they would shoot me, call the cops, have me arrested. Right. I said, but the day after the storm, they were begging for me to take their burdens out of their house.
Unbelievable.
You know, and that was the platform to put the gospel in there. I said, now you have a clean foundation. And you need to build it, as Mark just said, on the stuff in the Bible.
Amen. So, Jared, I don't know. I know you got your Facebook, my Facebook page up there. Just pick one of those videos, Jared, and go ahead and play it. I think this is about 8 or 10 minutes, and I don't know which one it is. Just see. Go ahead. All right, we're back here rolling again, rolling down the highway here in Panama City, Florida. It's about 20 minutes after 4. Folks, it's been a month. It's been a month since this hurricane hit. And as we're just rolling down one of the main arteries, one main highways, I just want to show you some stuff that we see as we go by here. Still, trees, huge, huge trees. On tops of buildings. We're not even into the worst part of it yet. Jared, let me stop you there. I don't know if I can direct you to do this one or not, Jared. I'm trying to get it to pop up on my screen. I don't know why it doesn't pop up on my screen. Jared, scroll down my Facebook page and let me see if I can find the one that I did with the pastor there. I'm sorry, folks. I just don't have my computer. There it is. Folks, freeze that second, Jared.
We're in this.
I'm in the middle of the sanctuary. The sanctuary at this church has been totally, everything's been torn out of it. It all got wet, okay? So while they're working on their sanctuary, they're working out, and I'm going to talk to the pastor in a minute. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
St. Michael's Baptist Church. I'm going to walk around here a little bit till the audience builds a little bit. St. Michael's Baptist Church here in Panama City, Florida. And let me turn this around. Standing in the middle of the worship center. Look at this. There's what I would assume be the altar. It's just all stripped down. It's been a month. They stripped it down to bare concrete. Worship center. Imagine this was your church. You can see up and there's the balcony where the seats were. Everything. It's all been stripped. Look at the ceiling. Everything. We're standing on
literally on a concrete slab here at St. Michael's Baptist Church. And here's the amazing thing. This is where everything is staged to help the community. This is the way the church is supposed to operate. They're doing restoration in their own building. And at the same time, the parking lot's full of volunteers. Incredible sight to see. My buddy Craig just said, it's exactly why you don't use carpet. All this was carpeted. The carpet gets wet. You'll tear up the carpet. It's a good, I guess it's a good excuse for tile floors. But I just wanted you to see how remarkable this is.
Jared, see if you can forward that a little bit to where I'm talking about, Pastor Jared.
Except for the structure. We're live on Facebook here. If I can just interrupt your conversation with Jim there a second. What's made your church community respond the way they have, Pastor? Because I was just saying before we went there, this is really rare. I'm telling you, this is really rare, the places we've been, to see not only are you guys repairing yourselves, but you're reaching out to the community. What's made all that happen, brother?
Well, God had already made us an Acts 1-8 church, so we know we're to be his representatives. We're to be his witnesses in our Jerusalem.
Amen.
Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth.
All right.
This is our Jerusalem. It hit Jerusalem, and so that's where we're ministering. So it's just what we do all the time. I mean, we have, before the storm, we have what we call our Center of Hope. We give out food, clothing, and the gospel 5 days a week there. We have a medical clinic that operates 5 days a week. We have a crisis pregnancy ministry that operates all week long. So wow. We already minister to our ministry just changed, you know, because the immediate need is taking care of folks following them.
I was just saying, Pastor, our experiences, and Jim and Gary, we've done this before, is most churches, you said to me earlier that you had some experience down in Hurricane Katrina. It's been our experience that when we go into a town like this, the church is so devastated, they can't help anybody else.
Freeze that a second, Jared. I asked him, folks, Dale, you'll take particular attention to this. He was pastoring down in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit. And he said the experiences that they learned from that has prepared, isn't this unbelievable? It's prepared them for what they're doing now. That he saw the churches fled. He saw everything. He saw that there was no help, that the church wasn't prepared. And now here he is down here in the heart of it again. And he understands it. And they're prepared.
Praise
and
God.
They're helping the community. Go
Praise
ahead.
Praise God.
Keep playing that, Jared.
I walked into your sanctuary. To me, it was remarkable that in the process of helping your community, you guys are restoring right here in your own house, but you haven't just committed all of your attention to your own house. You're doing both.
Yeah, we kind of found out when you do what God tells you to do, he takes care of the other stuff. And Amen. That's really what's happened, you know, to us. The Lord's just, we haven't had to invest very much in the way of time or resources in cleaning up our property. The Lord's just provided that for us.
Pastor Mike, just God bless you guys. Volunteers and folks, they're letting people sleep here. If you want to come down and help, they got a place for you to sleep, shower, take care of you. We just salute you, Pastor, because I'm telling you, as a guy who's done
it. Give glory to God. He's the one who put it together, I can promise you.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Brother, I understand that it's all glory to God, but you know, sometimes I tell people, Jesus prayed so hard in the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood came out of his pores, but then he did something about it, didn't he? He didn't just stay in there.
Amen.
You can only suck on your thumb for so long, can't you, Pastor?
Amen. You can only suck on your thumb for so long. Mark Trump, I want to call you in there. Look, we've got about 10 minutes left. Folks, thanks for bearing with me today. Just technologically, I'm not really set up here very well. It's probably going to get worse as the week goes on, to be honest with you. Mark, just if you can, you know, I spoke to Mark. Mark Trump came down here. He was down here last week or 10 days ago. He was down here, long way from his house. And then I go to Bethlehem, PA, and Mark Trump is in Bethlehem, PA. He drove 7 hours from his home to Bethlehem, PA, and went home and recruited Don from New Jersey. And Don drove down to Mark's house. And then they both drove their own individual trucks back down here again. What's going on, Mark? Why would you do that?
Well, it's some of us fall into. Well, I've taught this, that you got what you're doing, you got what you're good at, and you got what you want to do. And very seldom do we have all three. The most we can hope for is two. So if you think about your job, are you really, really good at it? Is it your gift? And a lot of our gifts we don't want. So we end up doing something that we don't want to do just because we're good at it and it's our gift. You know, but then you got, what are you actually doing? And if you compare those three things, are you happy? And I've realized that this stuff makes me super happy. I love serving people. And, you know, by you having these groups of men, I can talk to men. I'm pretty good at that. And, and getting men moving. And I like being a part of a team. I love it. So I think that's what this is it's well beyond a team. It's a body of Christ.
Amen.
My goodness, I'm learning so much about these people that we're working with, and it's different than any other church. You sit beside all your other church folks, and you don't know anything about them. So that's really what's impressed me about getting out here on the road, is I meet people like Gary Donahoe. Uh-huh. What an incredibly talented person. Don, who came down here. Bobby, sharing all that information about Psych. I mean, who knew? Right?
Who knew?
So that's, I'm a knowledge person. I love learning, and I love people. I love taking care of people. And it gives me the chance to do that. I don't know if everyone's this well aligned, but I feel right at home. It's
Amen.
What I feel like I should be doing.
And folks, go ahead.
I'm going to throw one quick call out. I want to work with you too. All these other people in the queue. Roger, I want to work with you. Bring your hat and your cigar and come on down. You know, it's like, let's work together.
It's right, man. Listen, it's what I believe is missing in the heart of a man. I observe people, right? What's banging? Somebody trying to get in my house here? Dog's barking now. I observe people, and I know this. Craig Fawcett from Iowa, he's plugged into something that his life is what he wants to do. He's doing other stuff. He's got a business. We all have those responsibilities, but it's the fellowship. It's the communion of the saints. And so I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I'm not trying to anything. Guys, girls, make a sacrifice. Maybe you can't come down here. I understand that. Not Woody Hayes, the old football coach at Ohio State, said nothing worth having ever comes easy. And if you are trapped if you're living in the shallows of your faith, something wrong. Your faith should be live, living, and breathing, and contagious. I made a video yesterday, and I said in that video, you know, most of you guys think I'm nuts because I'm so edgy in what I do, and abortion clinics and homosexuality. And I said, look, I can do this too. I can come down and make somebody a sandwich. I can move some brush. I can do that too. I can do both of those things. Now, here's a question I want to ask you, most of you out there. Have you ever even made a sandwich and given it to the needy people? Have you ever even done that? You say, I don't want to go to an abortion clinic. Okay, can you hand out a bologna sandwich? You ever done that? No. Why? Because we don't stretch ourselves and get out of our comfort zones, and life always gets in the way, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this, and I can't do it because of this. You know, sometimes, man, it's all about priorities. And I can tell you right now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm trying to touch you in your heart, okay? If I offered $1 million to everybody who came down here for a week, the list would be, how long would that list be? Because you would make time to come. Now, I'm not just talking about here, okay? There's going to be another one. The devil's coming to your town too. He's coming to Bethlehem, PA. He's coming to Lancaster, Ohio. These opportunities, folks, they are going to begin. Pastor at St. Michael's Baptist Church. By the way, that really shook me. I thought, St. Michael's Baptist? That sounds like a Catholic church. And then finally I figured out, it's St. Michael's where they live. The town's St. Michael's. So it's St. Michael's.
St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. So it wasn't named like after a saint. The town's St. Andrews. So it's St. Andrews Baptist Church. But I saw from the pastor what I say all the time, tell you all the time, you can't do what you haven't done. You can't teach what you don't know. And so he lived through Hurricane Katrina, and now he knows what to do. So that's an experience for all of us. There's a lesson in there for all of us. You can't teach what you haven't done. So if you want to have a guy, want Roger Weaver to be your lawyer if he's never had a case? He's had all the education. He knows all the laws. He ain't never stepped in that courtroom. I hope it's free if you're working for me, Roger. I want to see if you can do it. And so what are we creating? We're creating a bunch of Christians that got some head knowledge, but they ain't good to anybody because they've never practiced a case. They've never actually taken their faith and walked out and lived it out. And to see what happens inside me, what happened inside me when I handed that lady a $50 bill and she's walking down the street sobbing, because just an old $50 bill I had in my pocket that somebody donated to Pass Assault Ministries to help the people out on the street. She said, well, Coach, did you get a receipt and document it? The government's going to... No, I said, No, I didn't. Can't teach what you haven't done. So not a whole lot of scripture in here today, just because the such scripture's all over here, right? I mean, it's been all over here.
Hey, Coach. Yep.
Hang on, Dale. Just real quickly. We're down here. I have to go to Austin for the thing on. I'll be leaving out here on Thursday. But Mark and those guys, they're down here. They're down here through the week, and you can still come if you want to. If you need help getting down here, we'll help you get down here. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, no, this is Glenn.
Oh, Glenn, I'm sorry.
You know, Mark, you touched on something, and you said, I let me paraphrase. You said, you're doing what you love to do. Really what it is, that's what the abundant life is. You want to talk about abundant life. It's doing, it's serving, it's going. That's where the abundant life is.
Amen.
It's just not sitting in the church. And the joy that you get from, Mark, the joy that you get from that, that's the abundant life.
Amen. He came down again. He drove down again. Jim's done it twice. Jim's going to go home and going to come back again. Why? Because there's something. It's not out of duty. They're not trying to earn their way to heaven. There's something that happens, a dynamic, as Chad would say, church camp for adults. Living out your faith on the streets. Making new friends. Guys, I didn't even know a week ago. Making new friends.
Yeah, I'd have to say, you get a lot of joy and you get a lot of satisfaction from doing for others. And that's part of it. But I have to say that a whole lot of what I've really enjoyed is getting to meet people in the body.
Mm-hmm.
It matters so much that we know each other. Assembled. It goes back to your assembly. We have to know each other so well that we lean on each other. We call Roger with legal problems. We call, you know, Jim if we're building a cabin or whatever. I mean, these people have amazing abilities, and that's a big part of what I'm getting out of this.
That's right. That's right. So listen, here's what we do. I'm going to throw this one out there. Somebody, I'm picking up on your vision, Bobby. Let's organize something. Let's get 500 people there. Let's organize something where we're going to expand this thing. God's in the multiplication business. And I can tell you this, the word says that the fields are white unto harvest. Pray for workers. Very, very, very few workers. I'm not after the lost. I'm after the found. Because if the found get involved, start getting their elbows and their knees dirty, we're going to find a lot more lost when we do that. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Wow, what a time to be alive. Bless you all. We'll be back here. Hopefully I'll get my computer up and running. A little bit more scripture. Roger always likes that scripture, but it is all over today. And pray for us. We remain safe. That the gospel goes forth. And God bless you. Thanks to all of you who supported us financially and given us the money to be able to come down here and do this. And we're representing our King well. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.